Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Paul Muto. So, Paul, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, I'm Paul Muto. I'm one of the owners of Star Scenic Supply here in Orlando, Florida, and we are a specialty paint supplier to mainly theme parks, specialty construction, you name it, we handle it.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
Actually, a friend of mine started it. Orlando was becoming, it's about 1990s, was going to become Hollywood East. And my buddy was actually working for another company supplying a lot of the movie projects. And then his boss decided he was going to go into dinner theaters. And he was going to do an American Gladiator dinner theater, which was a complete fiasco, and just kept dumping money into it, doing whatever. And he saw the writing on the wall that this guy is just basically dumping all of his money into something that was failing. So out of necessity, he decided to open up Star Scenic. Years later on, I was friends with him and we were both in the paint industry. So I asked him, I was joking around one day, Don, when are you going to retire? He was, as soon as I can find somebody to buy this. And I was like, I am tired of working for everybody else. And so I bought him out. That was 2004. See, we went through a recession, pandemic, and still held on and still growing to this day. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, cool. We carved out a niche, and it's a very expensive niche.
So. Awesome. So can you just talk more about that transition? I think, you know, buying a company obviously is not easy. So what did that look like for you? I'm sure you probably got some help. You know, you mentioned that it's like, you know, a friend of yours. Like, what was that process like to actually buy the company and take it over?
Well, I had been working in the paint industry for a while and decided to, you can either start your own, I can keep going from manufacturer to manufacturer, or go into something else. And I kind of wanted to stay in the paint industry. I really liked it. Everything I had done, and I've done everything from architectural to industrial to aviation coatings, I've always done something different. So when the opportunity came along, I was like, this gives me a chance to use everything that I know and keep right on doing it. And a lot of guys think, oh, well, we can jump in and do that. And I'm like, it's not easy. There's like, when I talk to my guys on the regular paint side and they're like, oh, I had this difficult designer to work with. One, I got 4,000 to deal with. You know, I got 20 guys over at Disney that I got to deal with. And even the new kids think they know more than their bosses. And it's like round and round and round. Why can't we do this? It's not going to work. It's failed 100 times before. It's not going to change. No, we want to do it. Not going to work. Going to tell you. Been doing it a long time. So, yeah, it was, but it was fun. And then I was actually very lucky about 15 years ago, bringing on a young gentleman, Taylor, who was going to join us for this meeting, but we're a little bit shorthanded today. Again, we've had guys out sick. And we were like, he really got into it and took his strengths, my strengths, and just went to town. And he's actually now one of my partners because of it. He sweated himself in, and that was probably the best business decision we made, was going, you know what? Let's make him a partner. Couldn't afford to buy in, but he's worked his way in and he's done a hell of a job. And it's actually good because I'd like to see the business continue after I'm gone. Most of them fail. I'm watching a friend of mine's company who's been handed off to his kids and it's going down. Nothing you can do about it, you know, or the kids don't want it. So they hand it off to somebody else. And you just looked at your blood, sweat, and tears die on the vine. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So can you just talk more about that? You said it's a very specific niche that you work with. So can you just talk more about that? Who's like a typical customer for you?
We deal in so much exotic coatings because we deal with the theme parks, Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, the big three here in Orlando. You got to remember, there's no downtime. Okay. And what most people don't understand, like Main Street USA, and this is no secret, so I'm not going to. As soon as the park closes, they're cleaning Main Street USA. But then there's also guys in there to touch up paint, fix something, and everything else going on. And then at the end of the night, the whole thing gets a fire hose down it to wash off any dirt that those people might have done. So thinking, well, that's not that big of a deal. And I go, well, if the park shuts down at midnight, by the time you get the guys cleaning, setting up, and doing everything else, you roughly have about 4 hours to get everything done and then back open and then hope that it holds up. So you just can't go in there. I had a one of my competitors was trying to go in there with a really nice caulk material, and we're like, it's not going to work. It's no, you don't understand this product. I go, you don't understand the environment you're going into. And I tried telling the manufacturer, going, it's not going to work. Vertical, blah blah blah, going to be great. Horizontal, not going to happen, not going to hold up. The material lasted about 5 minutes after it was down because there was nothing it could do. It was not made for it. And that's the things you run into is people trying to bring in products or do things that are not going to work. But again, you're going to go, it works everywhere else, not in these instances. So, and that's we run into. Like we work with a company, and one of the materials they use for NASCAR, it's for when they crack the asphalt in a race. I can put a bead down, and 5 minutes later, cars can do 200 miles an hour over. Expensive? Yes. Does it have a purpose? Yes. Am I using it everywhere? No, because nobody else needs that type of product but these guys. So that's what we run into.
That makes sense. So, would you say all of your business is B2B, or do you do some direct to consumer too? Like, what does that look like?
We do a little bit to some consumers, but most of our consumers know full well you are not buying a cheap product. You know, you're not buying a, well, I can go get this same product from Sherwin-Williams for like 20 bucks. Not happening. The type of product that you're buying is $50 to $100 a gallon. And the only place you're going to get it is from somebody like me or a specialty supply house. You're not going to go and find this. Back when Home Depot and Lowe's were all doing their faux stuff, they'd be like, I can go get Venetian plaster for $30 at Home Depot. You go right ahead. See you later. Fine. And then these people, I'm having problems. Go back and talk to Home Depot. Don't talk to us. You know, we know our products. We train our guys. We send our guys to training seminars. Like right now, I've got a couple of my guys that are going off to different manufacturers' training seminars so they can take over knowing what I know and really kind of going, oh, if it's this stuff on the decorative side, concrete side, you need to talk to this guy. This one on the industrial, you got to go talk to this guy. They're still going to be here, but they'll be able to help everybody else in the store. Where normally guys will come to me, hey, we're looking for, yeah, this one product will do it. And they'll be like, how do you know this stuff? I just do 30 years doing it. So.
So you're saying basically, if someone's going to buy directly from you, it's people who really value the high quality paint. They're like, listen, I'm going to pay more, but this is, I know it's higher quality, and that's why I'm buying it, as opposed to going to Home Depot, for example.
Correct. And they know that you're going to get, like, if they're not talking to me, they're talking to one of the other guys. They're going to know what they're getting. You got a problem, we can diagnose it over the phone. We can help you, you know, oh, send me a picture, blah, blah, blah. And we tell people, as soon as you have a problem or you think you have a problem, stop. Automatically stop. And some people do, and they'll call us up and it's like, oh, no, you're fine. It was going to do that. That's no problem. You're good. Other ones are like, well, so and so told me to do this. And so now it's even worse than it was. You took an easy fix and made it more difficult. And that's kind of some of the things that we, you know, we try and help our people. We, you know, ours are not like, even my partner's like, you spend too much time with the customer. You should be doing more. And I'm like, we're not Home Depot. We're not here to sell you know, something and walk out the door and see you later. Oh, you don't like it? Fine. We're just going to return it. We're not returning. It's our money. We're not a big corporation. We don't have the pocketbook just to sit there and go, look, if you're buying this $100 gallon of exterior metallic paint, we're going to tell you everything good, bad, what you should do. But if you don't want to follow the directions, that's on you. So.
That makes sense. So are you guys mixing paint in the in your facility too? Somebody wants to match a certain color. Do you do that and ship it to your customers?
All day long. Yeah. We do computer matching, but mostly eye matching, because with some of our specialty stuff, there are no computers, especially on a lot of the textures and specialty goods. So it's eye matching. Plus, one of the things that we did when I first bought the company was making files of everything, anything that went out the door. So whether it's our lacquer matches, our industrial matches, we have formulas of it. And yeah, so we're doing anything and everything. There isn't anything we can't tint, because between powders, liquid, specialty colorants that we deal with, we hit it every time. And guys will tell you, though, some of our customers, like on our lacquers, oh, I buy my clears and all this from somebody else. How come you don't buy your, and all I get is your matches? And they go, yeah, okay, well, we're either going to charge you more for your matches, or you can start bringing the rest of your business to us. I'm not going to handle just the headaches for you. And I actually had one guy go, well, just give me my formulas, I'm leaving. And I go, they're not your formulas, they're ours. Okay. I have it here, so I don't have to rematch it every time. No, that's not how it works. Yes, that's exactly how it works.
So you have like a full database of all your customers and all the different colors that they've ordered and the matches that they've made.
We actually got away from doing the computer files like everybody else was doing. So ours are actually physical, and we could look at them. And guys are like, how do you know this is correct? Because I pulled out our color formula. We have a sample on there. Not a problem. So, like when somebody goes, I need agreeable gray. What do you want it in? House paint, lacquer, industrial. We've probably made it in about 300 different products. And they
Wow.
go, so
So,
it's, go ahead.
no, yeah. Now, I was just curious. So, with all this in this scenario, you mentioned that you have like more like a manual process, of course, like with paint, you have to mix it, right? But, like, what is the role of technology in your business? Like, communicating with your customers, obviously, like your shipping product, like, what is that look like?
Well, a lot of it we do with a little bit of technology. I mean, we do it with a lot with the email. A lot of guys are like, you should be doing more Instagram and stuff along those lines. And we've dabbled in it. It's just that a lot of times I can't show you what we're doing because of our NDAs with the theme parks. I can't. I can show you 6 months from now, but I can't sit there and go, oh, look, like, I joked around on one that I was doing a black light paint, which had to be done under black light because they wanted it to look the same under regular light and black light, which is virtually impossible to do, but we were able to get it. So I'm mixing it under black light and everything. And I was doing a little video of it and I posted it, but I didn't say what it was for or anything along those lines. And one of my theme park guys was like, I know what that's for. And I go, so do I, but I didn't say what it was for, did I? And he goes, no, you didn't. And I didn't tell you what I was mixing, right? And he goes, no, you didn't. He goes, but the video did look cool. Got it. A lot
That's
of stuff
awesome.
we do looks cool. A lot of people look at our stuff and go, what's this thing? We don't see your paint. My paint is everywhere. And we don't have just customers here. We ship worldwide. So with some of our specialty contractors, I just the Capital Center or Capital One's headquarters in DC, we just got done doing, we've got God knows how many other projects are for theme parks around the country, or actually around the world. And guys are like, you got to show some of this stuff off. And I'm like, we can't. I mean, I could probably show you stuff from Harry Potter One now, but I couldn't when I was first doing it. And I sure can't show you anything about Epic right now at all. So, but yeah.
That makes sense. So, obviously now in 2023, it's the age of AI, right? So are you utilizing AI in your business? And if not, like, where do you see AI taking things in the paint industry?
Good question. And I'm going to see it more, and I will tell you, in advertising. And that's it, really. That's, oh, look what we can do here, and blah, blah, blah. Because how are you, like, even some of my artists right now are complaining about some of the AI stuff and going, look, they're trying to do AI pictures of what I've done, and it looks like nothing like that I've done. Okay. Well, people want the art. I want a Da Vinci painting. I don't want an AI picture that I printed out on my printer and go, well, look, this is what happened here. Like Michael Eisner didn't understand that years ago when he got rid of the Disney animators. Disney animators can draw a cartoon monster character in 5 minutes. But then they have to give it to the computer guys to program that. That takes them 9 months. And they're like, no, but AI is going to be better. And I go, but AI can't come up with it. They have to copy right now, have to copy something and go, well, this is our AI version. Okay. Now, maybe later on, it's going to be good. But in the paint industry, I mean, we have to put paint on the wall. What's AI going to do? Unless you're talking, it's going to be an AI robot painting it on the wall, you know, and most computer color eyes can only really read clean samples. They can't read textures. They can't read other stuff. I mean, I'll have a computer tell me, can't hit it, and then we'll hit it. There's too many factors. You know, the human eye is actually better than the computer eye when it comes to matching colors, unless you're red eye colorblind. But, you know, other than that, that's, you know, some of the stuff you do. And like I said, even most of the computer color eyes are like, okay, I need to do this product. That color eye has never been set up for that product. Now what's it going to read? I don't know. It can't.
Yeah.
Where a human can look at it and go, fine, I'll take a formula for something else, something really kind of close, and I'll figure out from there. That's where AI is not, like I said, not going to do anything for us. Marketing, television, yes, fine. You know, would I like to see, you know, an AI John Wayne movie? Could be interesting, you know, see how it represents John, knowing full well from seeing all of his old movies, books and everything, how the guy was. I'd be interesting to see how that is. So,
yeah, no, I would say that, yeah, I mean, to your point, right, the technology is not there yet, but I could definitely see in a few years where the technology is, you know, up to par where it can do the paint matching and, you know, somebody can submit a color and say, okay, this is the exact color. I think that's the issue right now. For sure, technology is not there. That's a fact. But I think, you know, it's definitely something that maybe could be possible, whether it's 5, 10 years from now or, you know, sometime in the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, could be, yes. But let's take a look where everything's gone with most everything computer that you're looking at right now. I mean, with Amazon, what did Amazon do after they destroyed everybody in the market? Hey, we're going to open up stores. Didn't you start your business to kill brick and mortar? Yes. Turns out they can't do stores because now they're closing the stores. I get it. You know, like,
yeah.
There's certain things, like I said, like we go around and around with some of the people we were going over today. A customer came in and brought in a color and he goes, this doesn't match. Well, we match the color differently. Sorry, Amber Alert here in Palm Beach, 4 hours away. But it turns out the wall paint guy had the color matched somewhere else. The color, that color is not right. We showed them, we're like, here, ours matches the color. Well, I need it to match the wall. And I go, well, you needed to bring us the wall paint.
That makes sense.
How's that my fault?
Yeah.
Okay. Same exact thing. And you got to remember, with most paint manufacturers, the machines have to be calibrated every day. Not everybody does that. Most guys don't even check the colors when they go out the door. So they don't even know if the machine is actually off and go from there. So.
Yeah. What would you say is it? Yeah, I'm just curious, like, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing now in the business? I mean, obviously, like you mentioned that you were able to overcome like a recession and pandemic and everything, but I guess like right now in 2023.
Well, probably the biggest problem that I could say is going on in our industry is now that Yellow Freight went out of business, it screwed up. I think that they had like 20% of the freight in the United States, and it just shut down. So everybody is scrambling. All the other things are getting delayed. Costs are going up. I mean, I'm getting all the announcements from all of the distributors and manufacturers. Freight pricing is going up. We can't keep up, you know, and that's probably the biggest challenge right now, because not everything I have is readily available. I mean, I have stuff coming from California, Canada, warehouses around the United States, and I'm counting on that. And they're all backed up because 20% of the freight in the United States just stopped. You know, you got UPS drivers fighting for their pay. FedEx is probably going to do the same. The cost of freight's going to go up. which means the cost of everything else is going to go up because we all have to include it. There's no matter, you know, forget the cost of gas, but probably the biggest problem right now in all of industry on the paint side is freight.
That makes
sense. You don't know if you're going to get it or not.
Yeah. So what would you say is the bigger vision? I mean, in terms of the goal, the next like year or two, even a few years for the company. I mean, you mentioned obviously you have a lot of big contracts. So are you more focused like on the B2B side, maybe trying to get some other big contracts or B2C? Like, where are you really focused on in terms of growth?
Ours, I'm lucky I'm in an industry that price out to each other every day. So between Disney, Universal, those two going at it, you know, here, you know, Epic is $6 billion. Iger announced a couple of months ago, we're going to spend $17 billion. Happy for you guys. Keep right on going because the commitments are going to be there. Whether Disney's sold off or they're going to fix everything, you know, the revenue's there. But also is we, with our customer base around the world, and it's not only just theme parks or the movies or television, it's hotels, it's malls, corporate offices. Things are just picking up, you know, and they're like, we need this. We can't find it. Call these guys. They got it. Or they can get their hands on it. Why? I don't know. But they call us. And everybody's like, you should do more advertising. It takes time to train our guys. You can't just come in here and know what you're doing. There's no way. I've hired them. I've hired guys from Sherwin-Williams and PPG and other stores, and they've been here about a week, and they just want to go right back to corporate going, you know what? Let me make another 100 gallons of Off-White. Just shoot it and go. We know we have to be exact. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. What would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you took over as owner of this company?
Good question. That's actually a tough one. What would I have given myself? I would have probably said find a good number two in the very beginning. I mean, I had a number two guy and he was good, but not like Taylor is. If I could have had Taylor earlier, that probably would have helped with some stuff in the beginning. But other than that, yeah, that's probably about it. Because again, you're only as good as your people. And if you don't have good people, it doesn't matter. And I can tell you that from experience. I couldn't take a three-day weekend in the very beginning because I had guys that just couldn't handle it. If I came back, it'd be like I'd spend 2 weeks cleaning up, being gone for one day at work. Right. And I never understood that. But then it's what happens when you don't have a good number two.
Yeah,
and I see a lot
sure.
of businesses. I see a lot of businesses that don't, where they don't respect the number two enough to handle it. I mean, I can actually take a week's vacation and not have my phone ring once, which is great. I love it. You know, spend time with my family and never have to worry about my phone ringing. Yeah, it's great. And they also know that they can do the exact same thing. So
100%. I think, you know, to your point, right? I mean, that's, I think, a definition of success, right? When you build out a system so good that you can go on vacation and not have anybody call you and you can just not have, you know, any worries about the company. Like, that's really when you build things out in a very good way.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I wouldn't mind if they call me, oh, we got this problem. This is, but they, you know, giving my number two the full authority on, you're here, handle it. Do what you think needs to be done. You know, you're money-wise, you're not the same as me, but you have the full authority. You want to pull the trigger on something, pull the trigger. And that's the only way he's going to learn. He has to learn how to run the business as he runs the business. I mean, I pawned a lot of stuff on him, and he doesn't realize it, but it's for him to learn the business. Because he's not, you know, with most of them, yeah, you can go off to college and learn stuff, but you're still not going to learn everything. And until you physically do it, then it goes.
Makes sense. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or the best way to get in contact with you?
The website is probably the best, Star Scenic, www.starscenic.net. And we tell customers, not all of our products are on there, but mine and Taylor's emails are both on there. And you can easily go there, peruse some of the stuff. And if you can't find something on there that you're looking for, shoot us an email. Because if it's not, if the product's been discontinued or the local guys you talk to said there's no such product, which is we hear a lot, and then we show them like, yeah, this product will do this, this product will do that, and then they're like, well, how come my, I don't know why. I don't know what your guy knows at your local store, or how come I can't get this? Because it's not at Home Depot. It's not at Lowe's. They're not going to have it.
Sounds great. Well, Paul, we're rooting for you. Thank you so much for your time.
You.
Hopefully you guys keep growing and reach more customers the next, you know, year or two.
I'm hoping for more than that.
Yeah, even more so. Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye now.